When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome back to the second guest show. Mike Dottillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi on our Christmas Eve show. We'll be on until 8 o'clock tonight. And remember, tomorrow we got wall-to-wall football. Once it cranks up, doubleheader right here on the Big 870 WWL, and also free on the Odyssey app. On our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line, he covers the Las Vegas Raiders for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, Adam Hill. Adam, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I was thinking maybe when you're giving the Pelicans health updates, you should list the healthy players. That was a long list of injuries.
No, Adam, it'd have been a lot shorter. It'd have been a lot shorter to list that deal. But, yeah, we've been going through that basically the entire year with the Pelicans and the Saints. I mean, it's to see who got the longer injury list between the two of them. But the way this season has kind of mapped out for the Raiders, you got to win Sunday and everything, but – you know, we were talking about this, the disparity now, and I can't remember this over the past 6-8 years, this much kind of big drawback between the really good teams and the really bad teams in this league. And listen, I got to consider the Saints and the Raiders, two of them, in that really bad situation where, you know, you're going to pick either 8 or 11 or 12 for the Saints. The Raiders will pick either, what, 5, 6, or 7. And so it's an amazing kind of run in the NFL that how much we watch in the NFC North with three teams that might have 12 wins or more. In the NFC South, it's almost like pick them, you know, who's going to eventually end up being the champ.
Yeah, it's crazy, and I think if you really look at it, like every year, especially with this expanded playoff field, it goes down to the last week with like 6-7 teams fighting for the last two spots. Not going to happen this year. Like, we basically know the playoff field right now. There's a couple of spots that are still available, but you know, for the most part, it's the haves and the have-nots, and we haven't seen that in quite a while in the NFL. And certainly, the Raiders are a have-not right now. There's not much question about that. This is just not a good football team. Although, you know, the team you'll see coming in on Sunday is a team that, despite all the losses, they haven't, like, quit. They haven't given up. They haven't been blown out ever in these games. So they're fighting to the end, and you saw that on Sunday with the win over Jacksonville, although, you know, that team I watched Sunday in Jacksonville is not a good team either. So they're in that mix as well. But the Raiders haven't been blown out, so I think that's a good sign for them that they're at least fighting.
You know, Adam, obviously, when you look at it, I mean, I'm a Josh Jacobs fan, and he was the bell cow, I mean, a bell cow type running back. Does the Raiders have that kind of individual? I know they're looking for, Zamir White to be that guy.
Yeah.
But has there been anyone? Now, that's a tall task to say you can live up to Josh Jacobs. But sure. In hindsight, it's like, boy, look what he means to the Packers. And what have the Raiders done to address that?
Yeah, like Zamir White was the guy that they really wanted to take on that role. A guy obviously very productive in college down in the SEC at Georgia. They wanted him to step up. He wanted to be the heir apparent to Josh Jacobs. The problem is, like, they tried to fit a square peg into a round hole. They changed the blocking scheme, and it really just wasn't one that fit what Zamir White does well at all. And they were trying to ask him to fit into it, and it never was going to work. And it was just a disaster early in the season, really. And, you know, they found some success a little bit here and there with Alexander Mattison. But, you know, we know what he is. He's been around the league for a few years with the Vikings. Amir Abdullah, a veteran, he's not going to be the future, certainly, at the position. But he's given him a little lift in terms of the passing game. But he's not going to be an every-down running back type guy. They just haven't been able to do that. They actually did for a couple weeks, found a kid in Sincere McCormick, who's a really, really good player, down from UTSA. Everybody kind of thought, why isn't he getting a chance? He's such an explosive player. Maybe he can't fit into the passing game. Maybe he can't pass block. But he came in and he did really well in all areas. And it looked like for a couple of weeks, they had a guy that was going to be that, you know, that bell cow guy who could play all three downs and be the running back of the future. And then he suffers a severe ankle injury basically in his second start, and then it's gone. So, you know, you talked about the injuries. It's kind of gone that way for the Raiders. But I think they did find something in Sincere McCormick. It was just they only had him for 2 weeks.
Adam, one of the things, if he was playing in, say, a major city and you winning, Brock Bowers, we saw him at Georgia. He was a dominant tight end, so athletic, could catch the ball well. And really, his play is just that dominant in the NFL.
Yeah, it seems like he's lived up to those expectations.
You talk about a big-time guy. That's one piece of the puzzle offensively they have right in Las Vegas.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's no question. He's going to set every record there is for rookies. I mean, he's going to break Puka Nacua's reception record. He's not going to break the receiving yards record, but everything else he's going to break, and all the tight end records he's definitely going to break. He's just been that good. And right away, everybody kind of knew that first practice when he stepped on the field minicamp, like, oh, this guy's something different. I will say, though, you said if he was in a big city, he'd be getting a lot more attention, a lot more hype. That's not him. I don't know if he'd fit in that way. Like, he wants to just go to work, play football, and go home, and that's it. Like, he doesn't want to talk about himself. He doesn't want to hype himself up. He hates that. He hates the spotlight. He's a guy that, you know, would love it if he just, you know, played football and didn't have to talk to people and went home. And he's very nice. You know, I'll say this. He kind of tried to put on a hat and sneak out of the locker room the other day after breaking some receiving records. And, he obviously got caught and, you know, had to talk to the media. But he'd much rather have everybody else get the attention, get the hype, and he just goes about his business. That's just kind of who he is. You know, I asked Antonio Pierce 2 weeks ago, how did you finally break the ice with Brock? Like, how did you finally get him to open up and, you know, get to know him a little bit? And he said, I still haven't. It just hasn't happened. He's just not a spotlight guy. He's just a really, really good football player.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Now, Adam, speaking of being a really good football player, I mean, I think the NFL, and you follow football, you recognize Max Crosby. I think he's up there with T.J. Watt and the Boses, or whoever you think's the best of the best. To me, that's the player that, you know, you hell when you well and when you can play, but that motor, high motor he has, that he not only would start for every team, but he would be a dominant fixture on that organization.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, he suffered an injury week two against Baltimore, and he just hasn't been the same. And week three, he tried to gut through it and really didn't play well. It was as bad as anybody's seen Max Crosby play, as he tried to, you know, basically hobble his way through a game. He finally sat a game out week four and then wasn't the same throughout the season. And finally, you know, 2 weeks ago, he suffered the injury again. He re-aggravated it, and they just decided to shut him down for the season, hoping he comes back next year and is still able to kind of play back to that level. But it was very clear the injury impacted him. But you're right. I mean, what he does, you know, on the practice field, what he does on game day, he doesn't take a playoff, he doesn't take a snap off of practice. He's like the only defensive lineman who played like every snap for his team last year. I think it was just crazy. It was like 97%, 98%, and he had played 100% of most games. So he doesn't come off the field, and he's got that motor every single time. But they're really missing that right now, especially in the locker room, the leadership, the energy on the practice field, everything he brings. But he just wasn't the same this year, and that's unfortunate that we didn't get to see the full Max Crosby.
Adam, one of the things I get asked a lot about is, what impact will Tom Brady, being the one of the minority owners with the Raiders? I know one thing. Mark Davis is one guy. Man, his pop, he didn't take no advice from anybody. He was going to do it his way. So it's kind of a two-part question. What type of impact you think Brady will have? And is Mark Davis, he's got to be more open than his dad. Because knowing Al, I mean, he's one of these guys. He was going to do it his way. He didn't give a damn what you thought about him one way or another.
Yeah, for sure. And I think Mark has that a little bit in him. He kind of wants that, but he also, he's such a really nice guy. He's a genuine person. And I think what he's also realized is he just wants to win. He wants to make, you know, the memory and the legacy of his dad proud. And it just hasn't worked out, right? So if you have an opportunity to listen to a guy like Tom Brady, I think you're going to do that. And, you know, he brought him in with the Aces, the WNBA team. I don't think a lot of people pay attention to that. But he came in, and Tom Brady is a part owner there. And, you know, really inspired some of the players. They talk about all the time, just the times he's spoken to them and the times he's been around, what it meant to them. And it's certainly kind of like that on the NFL side. Now, the hang-up is he's still a broadcaster. And there is still, like, this gray area of how much he's actually going to be able to be involved, how much day-to-day he's going to be involved, especially not living in Vegas. But he is going to have an impact in big picture decisions. I think absolutely the coaching decision of if AP comes back and who potentially takes over for him. I would think the GM spot as well. He's going to have an impact on that. And most certainly he's going to decide in a lot of ways who the next quarterback is and come in and work with him. And that's going to be a big part of what he does. And I think Mark Davis is very, very open to hearing that, mostly because he wants to, you know, uphold that legacy of winning, and he just hasn't found that formula to do it. So I think Brady's going to have a big impact until, a big overall impact until he actually moves here and does it day to day, which I think he will eventually do down the road after the broadcasting stuff kind of fades away. And that's going to be his real impact. But for right now, quarterback, coach, GM, I think those are the things he's going to have to say over. And that's why a lot of people thought Shedeur Sanders was targeted for Vegas if they had one of those top two picks, because Tom Brady's first NIL deal he ever signed for his brand was with Shedeur Sanders. He's worked out with Shedeur Sanders in the offseason since high school. Like, that connection was very obvious, and now all of a sudden, looks like Shedeur Sanders is heading for New York.
Now, Adam, when you look on the defensive side, you always look at free agent additions, you look at the draft. How has Christian Wilkins worked out? To me, a free agent signing, and obviously coming over from Miami, a six-year veteran out of Clemson. Has he lived up to expectations? And then also maybe the contribution of Tyree Wilson at end. What was your first-round draft pick, I want to say, in 23, out of Texas Tech. Just break those guys down.
Yeah, well, Christian, like Max, got hurt early in the season, and they had to shut him down. So I think that everybody was so excited to see Max Crosby and Christian Wilkins together, and he never got to see it. And Christian Wilkins is back. He's in the locker room. He's around the team. He wants to play these last two games, but there's no way they're going to let him. Coming off, major surgery and with nothing really to play for. So he's just kind of there being a leader. And I think there's still a lot of excitement next year for Christian Wilkins, Max Crosby playing side by side healthy is going to be a real problem for offenses around the league. But the Raiders never really got to see that this year. And in terms of Tyree Wilson, it's a really interesting story because he didn't get an offseason last year. He was hurt throughout the draft process. He came into training camp, wasn't able to practice. And when he finally got on the field, it was awful. I mean, he was slow off the ball. He didn't react well to the snaps. He was one step behind everybody and just not really generating any kind of pressure at all, not really making impact. This offseason, he really got to work. He worked hard, changed his body a little bit. And I think he's been sporadically impactful. You haven't seen like that dominant game or anything like that from him, but every once in a while he shows up, and that's a positive sign for this team. And especially these last couple of weeks, since Max went down, you're seeing a little bit more of an emergence from Tyree Wilson, who kind of realizes he has to take on the burden himself with no Max out there. And I'll give you another name to watch out for is Calavon Chase, on former first-round pick of the Jaguars. He's really bounced around, hasn't really been productive. He was with the Jaguars, time with the Panthers this year, got cut. He's really coming into his own, four sacks over the last couple of weeks. and just had a really good game against his former team. And he's kind of finally living up to that first round hype that he had in Jacksonville. I think those expectations have been freed a little bit from him. He can just kind of go out and play. And he's kind of been their best defensive player on the line the last couple of weeks.
Adam, thanks so much for joining us tonight. Really appreciate it, you joining us here on Christmas Eve. And Merry Christmas to you, family, everything. And you headed to New Orleans, or are you going to cover things from Vegas?
Yeah, I'll be down there quick, in and out. But then Super Bowl week's what I'm really looking forward to. I can't wait.
Yeah, go.
Yeah, real quick before I go, I was born in Michigan. My dad was a frustrated Lions fan. It was much more of a Michigan Panthers fan.
It's a long history. And Adam, you know, that's where I got the nickname. It's not a Louisiana thing. I got the nickname Cajun Cannon from a Detroit Free Press writer, Kurt Sylvester, throwing bombs to AC to Anthony Carter.
Now, so, most people would not get that on Football Jeopardy.
No, they think it's a Louisiana thing. I said, no, Cajun up in Michigan and winning the championship. Yeah, though, Michigan Panthers. We're like the Lions. They finally got a winner because they'd always bring up Adam, like, oh, Bobby Lane and the Lions in 1958. So, you know, they would bring up, they go, oh, you way better than Gary Danielson or Eric Hipple and all that with the Lions. I remember those early 80s days.
Adam, thanks so much for joining us tonight, bud. Really appreciate it.
All right, Adam.
Thank you, guys.
All righty. Adam Hill covers the Las Vegas Raiders for the Las Vegas Review-Journal.